We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
In Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, just before Jesus ascended back into heaven, his apostles asked him this question. They said, "Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Even at this very late point, it seems that the disciples of the Lord had misconceptions about the kingdom. But you know, that should not surprise us because it has been 2,000 years and the kingdom has been revealed in the Bible, it's been established on the earth, and still many people today do not understand the kingdom. The Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that the kingdom of the Lord was established in 1914, and thus today you see their meeting places that are called kingdom halls. The dispensational premillennialists, which include much of the denominational world, will tell you that the kingdom has not come yet. They'll say that it's coming soon, but they say it has not yet come. They'll say any time now the rapture is going to take place and that the righteous are going to be called away with the Lord. And they say you can tell this by the signs of the times. And then they say the Antichrist is going to be revealed and the great tribulation is going to take place and the battle of Armageddon is going to be fought. And then, after all these things, the Lord is going to come to this earth and he's going to establish his kingdom. And he's going to rule from the throne of King David in Jerusalem for a period of 1,000 years. And so they say that the kingdom of the Lord has not yet been established. And friends, a lot of people believe that. Bookstores are filled with this type of teaching. Every week, denominational preachers are preaching this from pulpits. And really, you don't even have to leave your house to hear it. You can turn on the television set and listen to programs like the Jack Van Impe program, where this is taught on a regular basis. And so, friends, with such misunderstanding in the world today about the kingdom of the Lord, it's very appropriate that we spend some time today talking about the identity and the nature of the Lord's kingdom. I want us to notice several points today that I believe will better equip us to understand the kingdom of the Lord. The first question deals with, when was the kingdom set up? When did the Lord establish his kingdom? Now again, the premillennialist will tell you that it hasn't been set up. But when we go to the Bible, that's not at all what we find. In Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had had a dream. He had a dream about a great image that had a head made of gold and breast and arms of silver and a belly and thighs of brass and legs of iron and feet that were part iron and part clay. And in his dream, a huge stone that was cut without hands came and struck the image on the feet, and the image broke into pieces and was blown away in the wind. And then the stone turned into a great mountain and filled all of the earth. Now Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know, what does this dream mean? And Daniel the prophet, Daniel the faithful servant of the Lord, explained the dream. He said the four parts of the image represent four kingdoms. He said the head of gold is the first kingdom. And he said, "You are that head, King Nebuchadnezzar." And so we understand that kingdom to be the kingdom of Babylon. He said, then the silver portion is a second kingdom. And we understand from history that would be the Medo-Persian kingdom. The third is a third kingdom. The brass portion represents the kingdom of Alexander the Great, that is Greece. And of course, the fourth kingdom, the one represented by iron, is the Roman Empire. Now, very important, in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, after giving this interpretation, Daniel says, "And in the days of these kings," he's talking about the fourth kingdom here, that is the Roman Empire, "and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And this kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Now, he said that's the explanation of the stone that crushes the feet of the statue. And so, way back in the book of Daniel, the Lord informed us that his kingdom was going to be set up in the days of the Roman Empire. Well, the days of the Roman Empire come. And what do we find? We find John the Baptist on the scene preaching the kingdom. In Matthew 3, 1 and 2, the Bible says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven,'" listen to this, "'the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" John said, "The kingdom is not here yet, but the kingdom is coming very soon." Then we find the apostles of the Lord as Jesus sent them out on the limited commission. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, Jesus sent his apostles out and he told them, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, the kingdom hasn't come yet, but it is very near. Of course, also a prominent part of the preaching of Jesus, which was during the days of the Roman Empire, was the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now what was Jesus saying? He was saying, the kingdom has not yet been established, but it is very close. Now, how close was it? In John chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them which stand here. He said, some of the very people that I'm talking to that are standing in my presence, he said, shall not taste of death until they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now, again, we ask the question, how close was the kingdom? Well, it was going to be within the lifetime of some of those people who were standing there. Well, we go a little bit further in history. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, just before Jesus ascended back into heaven, his disciples asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You see, the kingdom was very, very, very close, but it still had not come yet. And then we proceed into the New Testament, into the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 13. And Paul, writing to the Colossian Christians, wrote this. He says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness? He's talking about the Father. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, friends, something took place between Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 and Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, and that is that the kingdom had been set up, because Paul said that he and all of the Colossian Christians were in the kingdom. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, near the end of the first century, the Apostle John referred to himself as being your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now that means that the kingdom had come in the first century. And that's why it's not appropriate for us to pray anymore, thy kingdom come, as the Lord taught his disciples to do in Matthew 6 and verse 10. Now, if the kingdom has not come, as the premillennialist will say, that means Daniel was wrong about it coming in the days of the Roman Empire. That means that John the Baptist and the apostles were mistaken about the kingdom being at hand. That means that the Lord missed it when he said it would come within the lifetime of those standing in his presence. It means that Paul was mistaken when he wrote to the Colossian Christians. And it means that John began the book of Revelation with a lie. But friends, we don't have to worry about any of those things, because the kingdom did come. Now, what is the nature of the Lord's kingdom? First, I want us to notice the nature of the Lord's kingdom is that of great importance. Great importance. Now, that's evident, first, because of all the preaching that is done on the subject. The fact that Daniel and the prophets spoke of it hundreds of years before its establishment tells us something about the importance God placed upon it. You know, it's evident from the fact that that's what John was preaching, and that's what Jesus was preaching, and that's what the disciples were preaching. You know, the Lord only has to say something one time for it to be important, but when it's repeated over and over and over again, we understand that it is of prime importance. But secondly, not only is the nature of the kingdom that of great importance, but it is very importantly a spiritual kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom like the apostles were thinking. And very interestingly enough, the premillennialists make the same mistake today that the people of Jesus did. They are looking for an earthly kingdom. But Jesus said in John chapter 18 and verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. Pilate demanded, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence. Now, I don't know how that could have been stated any more plainly. Thirdly, I want us to notice, not only is it a kingdom of great importance, not only is it a spiritual kingdom, but it is an eternal kingdom. Daniel said, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And that kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Not 1,000 years, but forever. Friends, there's no earthly kingdom that can do that, because this kingdom is going to outlast the earth itself. 1 Corinthians 15:24 says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power." Fourthly, I want you to appreciate with me that the kingdom is of great importance. It's a spiritual kingdom, an eternal kingdom, and that the Lord's kingdom cannot be located on this earth in a physical sense. You know, the dispensational premillennialists teach that Christ is going to come to this earth, literally, and that he's going to sit on David's throne and reign for 1,000 years. But first, I want you to appreciate that there's not one passage in the Bible that says that Jesus will ever set foot upon this earth again. But there are passages that teach Christ cannot rule on this earth. Zechariah 6 and verse 13 teaches that Christ will be a priest when he's on his throne. And Hebrews 8 and verse 4 says, "For if he were on the earth, he should not be a priest." And so when you put those two verses together, you understand that Christ's throne cannot be on this earth. Friends, it doesn't matter about all these things, though, because Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Not in a physical sense. It's not an earthly-type kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of the Lord is the church of the Lord. Friends, we need to understand this from the Bible. The evidence is overwhelming. Who are the members of the Lord's kingdom? Every kingdom must have members. We understand that the kingdom of the Lord, its members are Christians. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, again, Paul said, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Lord?" Paul identified himself and all of the Christians to whom he was writing as part of the population of the kingdom. And we also need to understand that the Lord himself identified the church as the kingdom. He said in Matthew chapter 16 to Peter, "And I give unto thee the keys to the kingdom." Now, what was he talking about? He was talking about the church. He said in verse 18, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom." Friends, the kingdom is the church. The kingdom of Christ is the church of Christ.